clothes became white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Then the disciples heard this and fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Okay. All right. This week it's going to be a special week. We're going to have sharings of God sightings from members of the English congregation. And I guess first I'd like to welcome Wendy up. Yeah.
Okay. I thank God I can be here this morning, even though my kids lost their basketball games yesterday. But I thank God at least I don't have to go back to Brentwood again. So, so to say that, you know, and all things, you know, we know that all things work. All things God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And the key here is, like, you know, that who loves him. And, you know, I believe and I trust God. And now, I think one of the greatest thing is that by believing in God and trust God, that I see things more in a positive way, even if bad things happen to you. And I just, you know, see that as an opportunity to experience God and be more positive and more optimistic. So I collided with a female motorist in Taiwan in 2012. Yes, I know I'm crazy driving in Taiwan, but I was horrified and terrified to see blood flowing from her leg. Initial of the impact, I was in disbelief, right? You know, like, and then I thought, you know, because it was really light impact, and I thought she would just get up on the moped, right? So I was changing lane, and, you know, and then when I see this no car coming from the back, I decided to just quickly to change my lane, and next thing I heard is this boom, you know, this bang, right? So initially I was just in shock, and I was like, okay, well, I think she should just get up, and then I didn't hit her in the front, but she didn't get up, and I was like, oh no, you know. Sometimes at the time I really wanted to just run away, but I know I couldn't, right? And then later on I saw her, and then I got out of the car and I saw her. She was laid down and she couldn't get up. I was really surprised, and, you know, I thought it was a very small collision. Anyway, so when I saw that, and I was horrified because she was bleeding from her leg. It was raining, and the blood is flowing through. You know, there's a puddle of water with blood, and when she lifted up her, like, pants, I can see the, like, maybe like 2-3 inches. You know, of her skin was scraped off from the, I guess, from her own moped. But regardless, I was shocked. You know, I was very scared. I didn't know what to do other than just praying for her at the time, and I was there at the scene. And then before the ambulance arrived, and I went to the hospital. I was just horrified. You know, during her 28 days stay at the hospital, I prayed regularly for a miracle, for a speedy recovery, because she needed a skin graft. I mean, she might need a skin graft, right? Because then, anyway, so that didn't happen. And I thought maybe if God would give her a miracle, maybe, you know, she was a vegetarian, like, right? Supposed Buddhist vegetarian. She would, you know, believe in my God, right? Anyway, so that didn't happen. But, you know, God was very gracious to me. You know, he protected me, and he was with me even since the beginning. First, since Taiwan does not recognize the U.S. driver's license, so the insurance we had on the car would not cover me. So, hint, anybody go back, if you don't have a Taiwan license, you cannot drive. You have to have a U.S. license, okay? And, so the insurance wouldn't cover me at first. You have to have a Taiwan license. Yes. So, or else, you know, they won't cover. Sorry. But, you know, so the insurance would not cover me because I didn't have a Taiwanese license. So I think days later, by God's grace, I was able to go to the AIT and get my license on the same day. And we went back to the insurance company, and miraculously, and just really by God's grace, they decided to take my case again. Otherwise, I would have to pay a lot of money for the compensation. And the second thing was, that the police report, the police did not put in the police report that I did not have a driver's license. Because I handed over my California driver's license. He said that doesn't work. But he was, you know, God was gracious. He did not put down that I drove without a license. And that was the second thing. So the third thing was during her 4 week stay, even though at the time I didn't know what was God's plan, even though I prayed for a miracle, but it's because she stayed in the hospital for 4 days that didn't show that she has any other problems other than the leg, a leg injury, where she tried to get three times of compensation for her other aches and pains. So where the insurance and I was just saying, well, you know, on your doctor's report did not show that you have any other signs of injuries, which is that protected me. Later on, I found out. So after, you know, the thing is that after she refused to settle for the $450,000 Taiwanese dollars, she sued me in a criminal court, and for $1.6 million, a Taiwanese dollar, of course. So which I had to appear in court. I cannot. In the criminal court, you have to appear in person. So during the criminal court, you know, I mean, I was there. Criminal court appearance. She changed right there. She changed her lawsuit to sue from negligence to intent, that I hit her intentionally because she wanted to get more money out of it, right? And then I know at the time it was just God's doing, because there's no way. I mean, she was like, even the DA's assistant was telling her, "Are you sure you're changing?" And she said, "Yes, yes, I'm changing this." And she said, "Do you know her?" She said, "No." So how do you think, why do you think she would hit you on purpose? You owe her any money or something? She said, "No." So right there, the DA was always on my side. And I know I was not scared because I know it was God was with me. Because she was very adamant, "Yes, I'm going to change it," you know, whatever, right? And so the fifth thing, so during the court appearance, you know, the DA asked me if I have a, you know, in Taiwan, in Chinese, they ask you, "Niyo jia zao ma?" Like, it's in present tense, right? So at the time, I was a little nervous and stuff. So when she asked me, "Do you have a license?" right? I said yes, but in retrospect, after then I talk about it, and even go back, when I went back home, I told my brother, right? And after we pray about it and everything, and then I really think that God was protecting me. So if she would have said, "Did you have a Taiwanese driver's license at the time of the accident?" I would have to say no. But I guess it was just God's protection the way that she worded it. She just said, "Do you have a license?" Well, "Oh yeah, I have it, but I just didn't bring it that day." Because I thought she just wanted to see my license or something. But anyway, so that was God's protection. I really feel that God was there with me. And, okay, so although there was a very unfortunate event, you know, I couldn't really calm my nerves but I trust God and I know He will protect me. So during the court appearance, my brother asked me if I was scared, because she hired an attorney and she came in as like she was in a serious, she was badly hurt. She would wear sunglasses, she wore a hat, she was a little humped, she has a cane, and she wore a knee pad on the outside, and then she walked really slowly, and then, like, she needed assistance from her, like, son-in-law, right? But all that didn't really scare me, because I know God was with me, and I know that God was their attorney, because on the day of the mediation, God sent these words to me, like, because I was going to tell my kids to do their devotions. And these words just popped out of my iPad. It says that, "I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you." I mean, like, that was just what I needed. Because even though I trusted God, but I was nervous. I couldn't help being really, you know, I just couldn't help it. Because I know I was half a fault. I didn't have a Taiwanese driver's license, right? So that was from Psalm 32, verses 8. So, of course, after the court appearance, you know, the DA said, there's no point in settling, because she knows that, you know, she wasn't being truthful. And then she had this stacks of medical receipts that, you know, but then, of course, the DA said, "There's no point to settle anything. We'll just see you in court later." But, of course, I went on a Thursday or Friday, on August 8th, but that Monday, DA already threw the case out of the court because she couldn't prove that I hit her on purpose. But that weekend, you know, was a long weekend, you know, and then I think God sent these words to me, and I really feel confident, even though I was very nervous, you know, because I was afraid, I didn't tell the truth, but I drove without a license. So these words also came to me too during the devotion. It says, From Psalm 28:7, it says, "My the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him." And I just like, wow, that just no other words can really describe or can how I feel at the time. And I was just really thankful. I know that God's on my side. Even the DA was on my side, and my parents and my brother was there. So I was very happy, but still I couldn't calm my nerve. So anyway, so after DA threw out the case, it was not over yet. So she sued me again. We go back to where the original suit last year, but at a lower court, at the civil court, during the busy time of Operation Christmas Child. But I just feel that it was a devil's attack. It's not, they won't let down. But she sued me again. But I praise God. As soon as we finished packing the shoeboxes, my brother called me. Oh yeah, she settled for less. So instead of $1.5 million, she settled for $650,000. In Taiwanese dollar, where the insurance covered $500,000. So I just thank God, even in midst of trouble, I could feel His presence, and then I just feel that there's an opportunity for me to share that how I have experienced God in my life, and He was there, and His word comforted me. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Wendy, for sharing. Hopefully this encourages us to take more time to reflect and, to think about how, God's working in our lives. We have a few other people planned, but if anyone else would like to share, you guys may want to start to think about what you'd like to share. So next, I'd like to invite Daryl up.
Hi. So I'm pretty sure I won't be able to talk as well as Wendy did, because I don't like sharing that much, but Christian kind of forced it on me last week, so yeah. Okay, so I'm actually going to be talking about the retreat that I just went to, so the youth retreat at Mount Hermon. At first, I didn't want to go. I kind of lost faith in God because I just didn't feel anything special when I walk into church every Sunday, so I stopped going. And the only reason I went to Friday Night Fellowship was because some people that I know will go there, and my mom made me go. So it's like, okay, Mom, I'll go. And then, yeah, I didn't want to go to the retreat at first, but then my mom's like, oh, Jack's going this year, Tim's also going too, and they bring a few friends. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go. So, actually, the message that affected me the most back there was the third message on Sunday morning. So it was about Pastor KJ explained two kinds of people. One's a person who stumbles upon the pearl, or the treasure. The treasure, and he finds it, and he buys the land that he found it in. So he said, Pastor KJ said that symbolizes the people that find Christ accidentally, and the other person is the person that looks for Christ on purpose. So after hearing this message, I immediately knew I was the first kind of person, the one that doesn't know Christ but will find it accidentally. So I just prayed that I would feel something until the end of the retreat. So actually, I did feel that. Touched by Christ on the last night where we did the prayers. I never felt that feeling before with so many people praying for me. My small group leader, Benny, prayed for me, Aaron prayed for me, Jack prayed for me. So everyone did, and I just felt touched by God right there. I could feel His presence. So after I came home from retreat, I just started reflecting. I started reading the Bible a bit before bed. And I just felt like, wow, this does feel like God's working on me now. So I was like, okay, I got to start going to church now. I can't just miss going to church. So yeah, here I am.
All right, thanks, Daryl. Let's see, next up, Lydia.
I take this off? So, hi, my name is Lydia, and I'll be sharing some things that reflect on what God has been doing in my life, and also some things that God helped me realize in the retreat. So, at retreat, when we worshiped, I really felt God's presence. It felt like something was pushing at me from all sides, kind of like pressure, but not in the bad way. And I was really inspired by the lyrics of the songs, by the ones exalting God and also the ones that call us out as sinners. I tried to really put my heart in the words as we sang, and the worship became a lot more meaningful than when I just sang the words without like thinking about them. One of the songs that was really influential to me is Christ is Enough. So there's an old hymn that has the same lyrics as part of this song. And before it, I would actually get really annoyed whenever I heard it because it was really slow and old-sounding. But then I realized that the meaning is actually really powerful. So the lyrics go like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. So Pastor KJ, our speaker for the retreat, told us the story behind the original hymn. It actually came from India. So there was this person, a man who became a Christian, and his village chief didn't like it. So he ordered the village to stand around the man and his family to watch as he questioned the man. He also had archers ready to shoot at his family. He asked the man if he was a Christian, and the man said yes. The chief then told the man that if he turned his back on this God, the chief would let go of the whole situation. But the man refused, and his children were shot and they died. The same thing happened again, and his wife also died. Finally, the chief asked him one last time, and he said, I have decided to follow Jesus, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And with those words, he died also. I was thinking about how horrible this story was, and how it's really a commitment that you have to live with and possibly even die with. So even though the story was really sad, good things actually came out of it. The village chief was astonished at what had happened. This man and his family died because of this thing they believed in, and so later he and the village became Christians. So while the family did die, God used them in his plan to help even more people. This story and song really touched me, but God also helped me realize that I have not really been living out my faith. I don't have to be an outstanding missionary or something and like leave everything behind, but I should read the Bible daily and continue to grow in my spiritual and prayer life. So this will help me be closer to God and also know how to better represent Christianity at my school and also in life.
Thanks, Lydia. That's all the people we have, lined up. But if you'd like to share, if God's doing something in your life, it'd be great to hear from you guys. So, it's open.
You guys probably know by now that I'm not really good at speaking, but yeah, I will try my best. And I just want to comment on how much I've changed throughout these 4 years since I've moved to the United States and attended a Christian school. So, yeah, I always feel like that, my teacher told me that when one person gains faith, it's less like just a straight process that you gain it through time, but it's more like, it's more a curve that you just sort of get there, but eventually you do. But yeah, I just want to say that I changed really a lot. From a freshman year, I was sort of a Christian, but not really, and I did not really like to come to church and all that. But yeah, and I learned more about the truth, and I started to put my trust in God, and then joined the worship team, and then got baptized and all that. So yeah, I just realized that I changed quite a lot, and just a suggestion, it's like, well, to college students, maybe, I'm not sure, but because I'm in a Christian school, so there's Christian classes and I took an apologetics class, which is basically the reason to believe in religion, like how to a philosophy of how to argue, how to prove that God is real. And yeah, that helped me, so I also just want to say that, and also gonna say that in these 4 years, I changed a lot. And yeah, I'm a high school senior now, so yeah, I'm applying to college. I'm not sure which college will I get into. If I get into a college nearby, I would continue attending this church. But if not, I just want to say thank you for everything that I learned here with you guys. Yeah, and there was one more thing I want to say. What was it? Oh yeah, so for college major, in freshman year, sophomore year, and back then I had no idea what to do. But now I feel like I think I hopefully discovered my calling is to. So I applied for a physics major because I want to explore this world by exploring His creation so I can know more about this world and know more about how did God create this world and the perfect world that He has created. So yeah, I just feel I've changed a lot from not knowing what to do and now trying to spend my whole life exploring God and His creations. Thank you.
I was pressured to do this, but that's fine. So, since my friends pressured me to do this, I have to do this on top of my head. And so I'm going to talk about my retreat experience or past retreat experiences and my life as a Christian. It's not going to be long. I'm pretty sure you people don't want to hear my life story. It's boring. So, I always thought retreat was a fun time to, you know, have fun and screw around with friends. But I never, understood the messages, and I always dozed off during most of the messages. Most messages can be boring, to be quite honest. You're just sitting there, and your friend's and if especially if you're sitting next to your parents, you'll be like, eh, wake up. It's like, oh, I wish I could stay at home and sleep. It's like, no, you're not. You're going to come to church with me. Well, anyway, I never really understood most of the messages. I never listened and that kind of stuff. And then when I go to retreats, I'm a teenager right now. That was when I was in fourth grade. When I was in fourth grade, I was the dumbest person alive. Now I've grown up. Past the awkward stage. Last year at the retreat, I was very touched by the pastor who is speaking there. He talked about how we're supposed to be owned by God or owned by sin. Those are the two choices we have: the blue pill or the red pill. I choose the red pill. That's God. But I feel that being owned by God, it's a huge responsibility. You got to tell other people about God and that kind of stuff. I tried living up to that, but when I go to this retreat, I had no idea why we worshiped and that stuff. We learn something new every day and that kind of stuff. And when I was at the retreat, I realized that there's two kinds of beliefs. There's two ways people believe in God. Belief number one is believing, pursuing God. You want to go after Him, seek His greatness. And belief number two is you're just scared of going to hell. That's what I thought when I first heard about the good news about Jesus. I was He's going to save us from hell. Oh man, I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to believe Jesus. So yeah, that's what I realized in the retreat and past retreats. And yeah.
Hi, my name is John, for those that don't know me. My wife is back there, Ring. And we're expecting number two in June. Thanks. You know, when we had Jalen, right, everything went very smoothly. Like, you know, being first-time parents, we were very worried about, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? And it was very smooth. And so when we found out that we were expecting number two, we sort of thought the same way that, okay, you know, everything is in God's hands. We'll, you know, let it ride. And when we had our first ultrasound, you know, everything looked good. We had our second ultrasound, and the doctor said, oh, well, you know, they saw something a little bit different. That's a little bit different than, you know, it's not normal. Nothing's wrong with the baby, but there is something wrong with, the medical term is called velamentous cord insertion. And, of course, those three words I've never heard before. And my first thought was, oh, you know, because the doctor kept on focusing on the umbilical cord, the placenta, the heart. And I was thinking, oh, is everything okay? And he said, oh, yeah, everything's going okay. But, you know, he kept on focusing on that area over and over and over again. I kept on asking the same thing. And, you know, he said, oh, you know, you don't need to worry that much. And then he basically told us, you know, there's a condition called velamentous cord insertion, but it's in a good area, so you don't really need to worry that much. So I went home, and the first thing I did was Google. Googled it, and then, you know, a lot of the thoughts came about, like, oh, man, this is like, this could be serious, or this could be really bad, or this could just be okay, right? And for most of the times, like 98% of the time, it's not an issue at all. And during that time, I think just a lot of thoughts, you know, flow through my mind in terms of, wow, what if the worst case scenario happens here? You know, what if something unexpected happens that we're not expecting, right? And so, you know, I worried pretty much for like a day and a half, and then, you know, talking with Frank, we prayed about that, you know, this really is not, this is God's in control here. What happens, what doesn't happen. And the most that we can do is pray and have faith going forward. And I think that's how, you know, God would want us to see things, even through obstacles, and even through through unknown circumstances, right? I mean, seniors going to college, you know, finding a first job, not knowing about the future, right? We all go through things that are unknown for us. And like for Ring and myself, this is another time for us to reflect back on our faith. And not reflect back on our faith, but just to, you know, give this up to God. You know, this is another thing that we have to give up to God and to know that He is under control. And, I mean, what helped us a lot was also, you know, friends and family. We told them about this and that they prayed for us. And to have that, you know, knowing that we're not alone in this, right, that people are thinking about us and praying for us. And that fellowship is so important for us. So we just had another ultrasound this past week, actually. And a lot of our questions and a lot of our concerns were answered, and we felt, in some ways, very, very blessed, right? Because what we didn't know before, we know a little bit better now, and that the doctor basically said that, you know, really, you don't need to worry that much about this, because it's in no way will, he didn't say in no way, but in majority of the cases, right, this is a non-issue here for you. And so that was, for us, a big blessing for us to hear. That was a big blessing for us. And something else that I want to plug while I'm up here is that we're going to look to revive a men's ministry starting at the end of the month, and I'm shooting for the 29th of March. And this is a time for guys just to get together to support each other. Perhaps some guys who aren't a part of fellowship, or guys who want to see, you know, have that extra support, whatever they're going through, or even just to hang out. It would be on Saturday mornings. I'm tentatively setting it at 8 a.m., so I know that's pretty early for everyone, especially me, because I'm a night person. But, you know, there's breakfast, right? I mean, we're going to meet at different breakfast places. And it's a time for devotion. It's a time for just to get together and support each other, especially, you know, and, you know, we're all so busy in life, sometimes we forget to, you know, support our brothers. So, yeah, definitely think about that. You'll be getting more announcements in the upcoming weeks. But if you're thinking about it, March 29th, 8 a.m., place to be determined. Yeah, thanks for your time. Thanks.
Okay, we have time for maybe one or two more, if anyone still would like to share. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Edith. So yesterday I was at this youth conference thing for high schoolers throughout the Tri-City area, which is Fremont, Newark, and like Union City, I think. And it was really cool to be there with like high schoolers from like my area, because I don't live in the South Bay. But and it was really like amazing to see, like, you know, there's so many different like people like my age that like also have like the same passion for God, because like when I'm at school, like it just kind of feels like, I guess, like a little like lonely, because like nobody really talks about like God or Jesus or something like that. And like it's just it was really amazing to see that, you know, God is working through like people who are like in my age range, and there's like people that can like be there to support me through like my walk with him. And we learned a lot about how to, like, I guess, like, approach people our own age about Jesus, and, like, having these spiritual conversations, and, like, how to present ourselves in front of others, which is something, like, I tied back to what I learned at retreat about having a limp, like showing, like, a limp, so that people, like, know, like, oh, there's something about this person that sets them apart from, like, other people, because they believe in Jesus. And like that made me think about like a lot about how like I want to change myself, so that when others look at me, they'll like see like God working in me, and like they'll be like curious to find out about God. And yeah, so that was my experience. All right, last call if anyone wants to share. Okay, otherwise, we'll keep going. So I'd like to welcome the praise band.